Daryl Strawberry joins us on Sports Byline, and a little bit later on, his wife Tracy Strawberry will join us because together they've written the book Imperfect Marriage. And of course, during the 80s and the 90s, Daryl was one of the most feared hitters in the game and known for his prodigious home runs. He was compared to Ted Williams, and during his 17-year career, he helped lead the Mets to a World Series championship and the Yankees to three titles. And he was an eight-time All-Star. He had 335 home runs. But there were some other stats in his life as well, including two failed marriages, five stints in rehab for drugs and alcohol and drugs, 11 months in jail, and two bouts with cancer. Now he's been clean for nearly 10 years, and he's found a new path in life, helping others with the same problems he had. Daryl, you grew up in Los Angeles, and you've talked very candidly about your dad, how pivotal he was in your life and who you ultimately became. And you said, "I was always told I was nothing." Now that you can be reflective about it, how did that affect you in the early part of your life?
Well, it affected me deeply. And early part of my life, my childhood, when I was 13 years old, and I really struggled with low self-esteem and a lot of things about myself. And I had to battle, even going through life as a child and playing baseball on my own and only having my mom to come out and see me play and not having a father figure there to hug me or be at the game. It was very difficult. I think when you go through something like that, it leaves a lot of scars inside of you, and you have to deal with them eventually. And later on in my life, they came out and they acted out in so many different ways. And I just really couldn't understand why I was like that, because I was such a good person inside, and I was wondering why I was all like that. And I think I was just really hurt inside and hurting for love and attention.
That was the trigger on your life, but I assume baseball was something that prolonged that insecurity as well. Am I correct in that observation?
No question about it, Ron. Baseball was an escape, an outlet. I just knew when I got on the baseball field I could play baseball and I was going to have fun. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid of the challenge. And I wasn't afraid to fail out there. Maybe at everything else I was a fail. I felt like a failure. But in baseball, I didn't feel like a failure. I feel like I was great at that, and I had a tunnel vision focus when I stepped on the field and believed in myself more than anything.
Do you think you were ready to play Major League Baseball as young as you were? Now, I'm going to interject something personal here. I interviewed you in your rookie year, and the one thing I came away with, Daryl, was how shy you were, how reticent you were, how unsure of yourself you were. And I didn't know the background at all, but I just wondered if you were ready to play baseball at this level in that city.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a hard thing to say because eventually I ended up doing so well. But I was very shy. I mean, if I had been drafted and played somewhere else in a smaller city, smaller market, it'd probably been a lot different. But having to play in New York City and having the expectations and the pressure, it was a lot. No question about it. And It was tough. It was tough to make the adjustments to that because there was so many people pulling at me at so many different angles, and I didn't know who was who. I thought everybody was your friend when you get to the big leagues, but it's normally not like that.
Yeah, you said I was broken, I was hurting, and I was uncomfortable. And I suppose when you feel that way, you can't enjoy something like you did baseball. You really enjoyed playing the game.
I enjoyed playing the game, no question. I just didn't enjoy fact of learning how to live, because I really never had any father figure guidance of how do you live, how do you become a man, and I think that's a big step for any young kid coming up to the big leagues or anyone that's stepping into celebrity lifestyle. How do you live? How do you become a whole person and live not from just playing baseball, but from off the field, too.
The other thing I wondered about, Daryl, was the fact that I don't know how veteran ball players can do what they did to you, because you were a 21-year-old rookie, and you were introduced to cocaine by other Mets players on that first team plane ride, and you said, "I just wanted to fit in." Does that anger you to think that they would do something to somebody young like you?
Well, I didn't think about it at that time. And I have to take responsibility for it. It was just something that I want to be a part of. I thought, my whole life playing baseball and going through the minor leagues, and all of a sudden you arrive to the major leagues and you want to fit in. You just want to be a part. These guys have been there for a long time. So, I don't just throw all the wrong on them. It's just part of me wanting to fit in too, to be accepted more. I think a lot of times we just want to be accepted, Ron, and I think that's what I looked at it as. I just want to be accepted and just want to be a part of.
Darryl, one of the things I've always wondered, and I'm going to ask you this because I've never asked another athlete who had the similar problems that you did. With professional sports, but we're talking baseball here, when the athlete has a problem or if they get caught, they send them off to rehab for 30 days. But you're in an environment, meaning playing professional sports, where you're evaluated on a moment-to-moment basis, and that creates a lot of insecurities. Are they really doing any good for any athlete by sending them off to a rehab center but bringing them back into the environment that helped create the problem?
Well, I think you have to take more time not to bring them back into the environment so quickly. I think that, you know, 30 days is a start of him trying to find himself and trying to deal with life on life terms. And when you throw him right back into that situation, it's very difficult. But, you know, it's a business, Ron, and, you know, they want to win. If you're a big part of, you know, what they're trying to do, they need you and they expect you to come back and participate, because the bottom line is they're looking at, we're paying you, and you know, our feelings are, we feel for you, but we also paying you to go out here and do a job. So it's a business side of it, too.
Is there a particular moment in your 17-year career that's kind of embraced in your life and your psyche that you'll never forget because of that moment?
Well, I had a lot of great moments, you know, in my 17-year career, and winning was the most important thing. I think a lot of us play sports, but do we play to win? And you know, I had the passion of being on teams that wanted to win, and I cherish that. I cherish the moment, because no one can ever take that away from you. Once you've been in the winning circle, it says something about you. It says that you were on great teams. You had a great career playing with a great group of guys.
Also, after your career ended, you've been very candid. You got involved with crack, heroin. Also had colon cancer a couple times. Lost your will to live. I saw the soundbite of you in court when you were talking to the judge. Was that the lowest moment, or was there another moment that was lower than that?
No, those were the low moments of my life. Addiction takes you so far, it takes you to places that you could never imagine, and you go so far down, and then either you're going to look up or you're going to stay, and you need to find your identity. I think when I got that far down, my identity was always I was a baseball player, and that's all I really knew. And I was really confused and lost, and I lost the will to continue to go forward.
The one thing also I came away with was that you probably didn't have anybody to turn to, because you were kind of flailing badly, both when you were playing baseball and also afterwards. But yet you meet Tracy, and things start to come together for the two of you. What was the connection there, besides the sharing of drugs?
Well, I think just the kind of person he was. I mean, what a gift, and what a tremendous gift that was able to receive, you know, after being married twice and failing at that, and then coming, meeting Tracy, and just seeing the gift that she didn't like me because I played baseball. Now that's a gift, Ron, you know, because she liked me for me, and she saw something in me, and I knew it was a great chance that I could make this work. But I was so screwed up at the time. I even took her through some very difficult times. Down some dark roads, chasing after me and looking for me. So I kind of explained to her when we first met, I said, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into.
I thought it was very interesting. You think of all the things that can push a person in the right direction. But in Tracy's case, you know what I'm saying, no more sex. That did it for you, right, Darryl?
Yeah, that was a defining moment in my life when she cut it off. I mean, and I think sometimes people don't really look at that as so important. I think she made a stand, and when a lady makes a stand like that, at a man, he should take heed to that. And I really did. I took heed to it, and I took it to heart, and I decided that I needed to do something different.
You know, I'm hearing a comfortable, self-assured person. You've got a path now that you're comfortable with. I know it's said in the piece on HBO's Real Sports, you don't have any souvenirs in the house. They're out in the garage and everything. And you said that the baseball person, Darryl Strawberry, is dead now. How, you know, where are you in your life?
Well, I'm in a tremendous place, you know, and that's why our book is so important, because, you know, our whole life has been restored from where we came from, the bottom. And people think they can't start over. And some people, conditions are not as bad as me and Tracy was. We were at the bottom when we started, but we started believing, and we started walking in faith, and we turned away from worldly things, and we turned into principles, and all step by step, our life started coming together. We started putting the pieces together. It's like putting a puzzle together, and you got to find the pieces that match. And we started doing that in our life, and me and Tracy, and then we went forward in our faith, and our life just turned into everything that we always believed it would turn into purpose. And I think that was the most important thing. Tracy coming into my life and the two of us being able to walk in purpose, real purpose.
Darryl, for those of us who covered you, watched you during your career, I'm happy to hear the Darryl Strawberry I'm talking to right now. And I'm going to look forward to talking with Tracy next about the book Imperfect Marriage. But thank you very much for your time. You're welcome here anytime, Darryl.
Ron, thank you so much, and I really appreciate that. And thank you for having me on.
Darryl Strawberry, and when we come back on the other side, Tracy Strawberry will join us. We'll talk about this book, Imperfect Marriage, and the process that she went through with Darryl as we continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.